Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today on the program, we're going to talk with Daryl Thuringer, who directs parish and school services for the Diocese of Sioux Falls. It's that back-to-school time, back-to-religious education time. We're going to talk about all of that and the opportunities that are there for our young people in particular. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday. Melinda North with the first and second reading. Mother Timothy Smith with the Gospel.
A reading from the book of Proverbs. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up her seven columns. She has dressed her meat, mixed her wine. Yes, she has spread her table. She has sent out her maidens. She calls from the heights out over the city. Let whoever is simple turn in here. To the one who lacks understanding, she says, come, eat my food and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness, that you may live. Advance in the way of understanding. The Word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, watch carefully how you live, not as foolish persons, but as wise, making the most of the opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not continue in ignorance, but try to understand what is the will of the Lord. And do not get drunk on wine, in which lies debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and playing to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks always and for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God the Father. The Word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the crowds, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors, who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, youth from across the diocese gathered in midsummer for several discipleship camps held at the Broomtree Youth and Family Camp near Irene. Hundreds of young people from all corners of the diocese attended one of the D camps where they deepened their faith, found fellowship, and had good fun. You can read and see more about the discipleship camps in the August edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, the state of Nebraska this week executed its first death row prisoner in 21 years, convicted murderer Kerry Dean Moore, who was pronounced dead at 10:47 a.m. Central Daylight Time at the Nebraska State Penitentiary in Lincoln. Omaha Archbishop George J. Lucas and Bishops James D. Conley of Lincoln and Joseph G. Hannenfelt of Grand Island invited Catholics of the state and all people of goodwill to join them in silent prayer by pausing in their homes, schools, and workplaces at 10 a.m. as the execution got underway. Having expressed their opposition to the death penalty, the three Catholic bishops spent silent time in prayer for Moore's victims, Moore himself, and an end to capital punishment in Nebraska. The Omaha World Herald newspaper reported that Moore, who was 60, had said he was ready to die. He was convicted of shooting and killing cab drivers Ruhl Van Ness and Maynard Helgeland in the summer of 1979. He was sentenced to death in 1980. The state executed him with a four-drug cocktail and a powerful synthetic opioid that was included that can block breathing and knock out consciousness in that execution. When Chris Bell was working in Times Square in the late 1970s in New York City, he was shocked to repeatedly see young mothers entering crisis shelters with their children, and he decided that he had to do something. With the help of Father Benedict Groeschel, a member of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal and his spiritual director at the time, Bell founded Good Counsel, a network of pro-life maternity homes. Currently, Good Counsel operates 6 homes, 4 in New York State, 1 in New Jersey, and 1 in Alabama, and works with other homes all over the country. It also is looking to both grow and expand its network. Good Counsel is one of the founding members of the National Maternity Housing Coalition, Bell told Catholic News Service. Most of the homes are small and limited in what they can do, but we can help find a place for any pregnant woman in the country. Bell said that any pregnant women can enter the maternity homes for free, and the homes will help provide them with opportunities to go back to school and find jobs. Good Counsel will even assist pregnant women with drug addictions or mental illnesses and help find suitable places for them. They also can help plan adoptions. 4 bishops will lead a Marian pilgrimage to the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary Ukrainian Catholic Church in Centralia, Pennsylvania, August 26th. The church sits on a hill to the north of the town, which has been almost entirely condemned as a result of underground mine fires that have undermined the stability of the ground. We are quite simply hoping to manifest and make real the major archbishop's vision of providing a place for prayer, said Father Michael Hutsko, an archpriest who is pastor of the church. Father Hutsko said that the presence of the church itself is a gift from God. Logic says that there's no reason for the church to be there, but the spirit of prayer and the presence of God manifest themselves there, he said in a phone interview with Catholic News Service. He also said that being the pastor at such a church is a unique experience. The people's attendance is a visible manifestation of their support. Pope Francis has named a Venezuelan veteran of the Vatican Diplomatic Corps to be the 3rd-ranking official in the Vatican Secretariat of State. Archbishop Edgar Peña Parra, current nuncio to Mozambique, will take up his new position as substitute secretary for general affairs October 15th, the Vatican announced this week. The position is similar to a president's chief of staff, placing him in charge of the Vatican's day-to-day operations. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Very good, Gene. Thanks for the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Daryl Thuringer, who directs parish services and school services. I don't know if that's the exact right title, Daryl, but...
Close enough.
And it's that time of year when we always like to talk a little bit about what's going on in our Catholic schools and certainly in our parishes as well. It's that back-to-school time. And, you know, I'm out of that mode now, having all of my kids are adults, and so I don't quite think about it in the same way I used to. But, boy, I know for families, this is just a huge time.
This is a very exciting time, not just for families. The teachers, the parishes, everything is coming back to life after a nice little summer lull. All the schools are getting geared up. The teachers are in meetings, and we're rolling.
I know one of the things that happens is the schools have these open houses where, you know, the kids get to meet the teachers, and, you know, if they haven't been to this particular school before, it's kind of an exciting moment for everybody?
A lot of the schools are doing that this week and over the next couple of weeks. Some of our schools start next week. Some of them actually wait and start after Labor Day. So you kind of have a little bit of a mix of when the schools start and when they open classes. But it is really an exciting time for the parents and the students to be coming in and meeting the teacher that they're going to have for this year. The teachers love it. They get to interact with their students, show the classroom, get rolling. I'm going to be walking through the high school tonight.
Yeah, doing the same thing with your last one.
Yes.
So that's exciting stuff. The experience, I think, whether your child is in Catholic school or in public school, some of those experiences are the same, aren't they?
Oh, very much so. Yeah. Very much so. The schools, you know, all of our schools are accredited by the South Dakota Department of Education. So we go through that accreditation process. All of our schools measure up, meet or exceed all of the credentials for graduation, all of that kind of stuff. So a lot of it is the same. Probably the biggest difference is the faith component. Our Catholic schools work very hard to ensure a Catholic identity and that Catholic teaching is taught across the board during the entire day.
We'll certainly talk a little more about that as we go along this morning. Maybe first of all, is it too late if somebody is hearing this and they go, you know, this is it. I've had this thought that maybe I should send my kids to Catholic school. Is it too late this year?
Oh, no, it's not too late. We have people move across the country, across the city, switch schools mm-hmm. throughout the entire course of the year.
Okay.
Yeah, so it is not too late to, if you're interested in exploring the option of a Catholic education, you know, you can go on to sfcatholic.org, click on the schools page. You can see a complete listing of schools and contact information there. Or just drive over to your local parish and say, where's the closest school?
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, they're not everywhere. But where they are, how are they doing?
Catholic schools, they're doing good. I'm very excited to be working with the Catholic schools, but in some of our smaller communities, just like the smaller communities, the smaller parishes, mm-hmm. some of the smaller schools, we are seeing numbers going down, but
just aren't as many kids.
There just aren't as many kids.
Yeah.
Yes. The parishes are smaller. Even the public schools in some of those communities are smaller.
Mm-hmm.
The community is smaller.
So that's a reality that some of them have to deal with. And I know some of them are incredibly creative in how they deal with that, mm-hmm. how they adjust and still provide tremendous instruction.
Oh, they are so creative. They work very hard. The principals and the advisory boards and the pastors work very hard to make sure that all of the students are getting all of the services that they need and they deserve. Like I said, they're accredited, they meet, exceed mm-hmm. expectations, and there are some nice ways of doing that to make sure that we bring in services or we help students reach out to get some of the services that they need.
And the results that you see, and not that testing is everything, but the results that you see are pretty much bear out what you're saying.
Yes, yes. As we look across the ACTs, we look across, the standardized testing and things that all of our schools take, our test scores tend to be a little high,
mm-hmm.
which is very nice.
Yeah, that's a helpful tool to let parents know that that's the case.
Yes,
very much so.
And class sizes, we work very hard to keep the class sizes at an appropriate size.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's... class sizes sometimes are smaller. Sometimes, we have to combine some classes too. But students get the individual attention that they need.
So we often talk about parents as the primary educators of their kids. Mm-hmm. Sometimes parents don't like to hear that. but that's the reality, and certainly that's what the church teaches. So the schools, in this case the schools, and certainly the parishes as well, are there to help, not to supplant.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And when we look at, let's just look at Catholic schools for right now.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at Catholic schools and the parental involvement and having the parents be the primary educators, Catholic schools really do rely on the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, we have great support. And we actually have to try and schedule volunteers because we get so many volunteers coming into our schools.
That's great.
And supporting. And then, of course, the homework at home, making sure that the parents are aware that this is what's happening and working with the parents to help their students achieve.
Has technology changed that a little bit, Daryl? Does that make it maybe easier, maybe harder for the parents to stay abreast of what their kids are doing?
I can tell you that I use the app from our school all the time to check my students' grade. They have the assignments on there. They show what assignments are due, what assignments are late. There are many things like that that are happening across the diocese in our schools.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is I check it all the time. My daughter checks it even more.
Sure. Sure. So because they're so tuned into technology,
yes.
The fact that the schools are adapting to that, I'm sure is helpful to the kids.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It
helps
is.
Them be successful.
Yeah. And all of our schools are using technology, you know, the Promethean boards, you know, Chromebooks, all of that kind of stuff, to just make sure that the students are using technology, but using it wisely.
Mm-hmm.
And using it productively.
You know, and boy, that wisely point is so important, isn't it? Because there's a lot of concern about how technology mm-hmm. can be used poorly
yes.
and actually to, you know, to the detriment of people and then the quantity of the use of technology. Mm-hmm. But if we are teaching kind of the measured use of that, mm-hmm. that can be a helpful thing just in and of itself.
Well, there are so many ways that we teach responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say this is just one more way that we're teaching responsibility in teaching our students how to go beyond the classroom with a skill set that they will need to function in everyday life.
Let's go back and talk a little bit. You mentioned two things. You mentioned Catholic identity mm-hmm. And I know I'm not sure what the second one was, but the Catholic identity one is the one I really stuck in my brain because I want to talk about that a little bit. We haven't always maybe proclaimed that as an ideal for our schools. I know in the last many years that has been the case, though. Really important mm-hmm. that the schools reflect who they are.
Yes, yes. And live what the gifts that we are given as a Catholic school. How do we live that in a day-to-day basis? How do we share the gifts that the catechism gives us? How do we make sure that people that are students are living social teaching of mm-hmm. the Catholic Church? You see a lot of schools doing service projects and outreach projects and everything like that. You know, that's nothing new. But when you do that and you tie it back to social teaching, mm-hmm. rather than just doing a field trip, you're doing a field trip to the nursing home, and here's what it means, according to Catholic social teaching,
mm-hmm.
why we visit. Yeah, so that's much different.
So it provides, in a sense, the meaning. It's not just do this, but the why we do this.
Yep, yeah. Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And hopefully that, too, is a skill set and understanding that students will take beyond the classroom in past graduation.
I think about that at the grade school level and then into the high school level, and how mm-hmm. the staff, the teachers must have to kind of work together so that those messages are consistent mm-hmm. and are kind of making those connections from one class to the other.
They work together, but also there's an overarching, you know, objective
mm-hmm.
that all the teachers are trying to achieve. You know, so they're all looking at those same goals, those same objectives, on how to live Catholic social teaching, how to live Catholic identity, how to be examples of living a strong prayer life.
Mm-hmm. And how important that is at this moment that we are in right now, you know, certainly in our country with just so much unrest and uncertainty and frankly, upsetness about things that we're hearing about that have happened in the church.
Mm-hmm.
How important it is for the kids to get the real thing that Christ is trying to teach us.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I love the fact that we can look through the lens of the church teaching
mm-hmm.
to look at, you know, the political news, the church news, mm-hmm. environmental news, all of those types of things. And we can look and, okay, what does the church teach mm-hmm. in this area?
Mm-hmm.
How does this affect us as Catholics?
Yeah.
And
never mm-hmm. denying that there's a humanness in the church, and yes. And yet it is Christ's church, and that ultimately that's
yes.
that's winning the day.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, for our kids. Mm-hmm. Anything else that we ought to know as we go into this this school year, and particularly thinking about our Catholic schools?
We have a lot of very dedicated staff
mm-hmm.
that this is truly a ministry for them. Some of our staff have been doing this, as I look across the diocese. Some of them are brand new.
Mm-hmm.
This will be their first year in the classroom, or maybe the first year in the Catholic school classroom. Some of our teachers have been doing this for 35 years and just love it. They can't imagine doing something else.
Yeah.
I think we really have to acknowledge the dedication of the faculty, the staff that serve lunches, all of that kind of stuff. Our schools would not be successful. Our students would not have the services without the dedicated faculty, staff, and let's not forget the pastors.
Yeah.
You know, it's their daily presence in the hallways that are so impactful.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. And so we pray for a successful school year, certainly yes. for all those in Catholic schools. The reality is, as we mentioned earlier with families heading back to schools that aren't Catholic schools, the reality is the majority of our kids in our diocese in eastern South Dakota don't go to Catholic schools.
That's correct.
So yes. how do we help them? What's going on? Because you also deal yeah. with parish services,
yes.
And your team does a lot of the work with religious ed and discipleship and all of that. Yeah. So talk a little bit about what's going on as that part of the world gears up for the new season.
Yes, and that'll probably start gearing up early September.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of that'll wait until after Labor Day. But you're absolutely right when you say the majority of the students in our parishes will attend a religious ed class.
Mm-hmm.
And the important thing there is to get your students signed up, make sure that they're registered, make sure that they're attending religious ed classes. And of course, we're always looking for a volunteer teacher. And the thing I would say about a volunteer teacher, and I remember teaching and always feeling woefully unqualified to teach the faith.
Yeah.
But there are curriculum, there are guidelines, there are textbooks, and religious ed directors, whether they be paid staff or volunteers, are great resources. So if you think you're being called to be a volunteer teacher, seriously consider it, and there is help out there.
Been privileged to work the last couple of months on stories for the Bishop's Bulletin, talking about discipleship in particular, yes. but hearing from a number of our folks that either are DREs or who teach in Catholic schools or whoever who are involved in this process of the various forms of discipleship. And one of them, I thought, just said something so profound. And she said she discovered a few years ago what a difference it made for her, as she related, to not feel like she had to have all the answers mm-hmm. at the moment. You know, kids are curious. They ask all kinds of questions, and it doesn't mean that you have to answer them on the spot. All it does is open the opportunity for you to explore it together, because there are answers out there, and you can discover them with the kids.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is so true. And yeah, I remember feeling overwhelmed and feeling a little bit unqualified to be able to teach. But in preparing for the class, I learned so much and grew myself.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's a nice faith journey to have along with the students.
Right.
It's a great faith journey that you can share with your students.
So that's that sense of we all feel inadequate.
Yes.
But there's ways to kind of overcome that. And probably the best thing a person can do is to pray about this, right?
Absolutely.
Maybe the Lord is calling you to be a teacher.
Yes.
Pray about it.
Yes. Pray about it. Ask some questions. You know, visit with the priest, visit with the, you know, some of the other teachers. You know, I guarantee you, if you're feeling like you're not quite qualified, the teacher that's been teaching third grade religious ed for 15 years still feels that way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably true. And what teachers do, and what any volunteer in a parish mm-hmm. does, is just helps form community, right?
Yes, absolutely.
It brings us together as faith.
It brings us together as a parish community. It brings us together as a diocesan community. It brings us together as the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have ways to help people, and I know your staff does a great job with this all through the year, but I'm thinking in particular about discipleship days coming yes. up at the end of September. I think that's a really helpful tool to help with that confidence.
Yes. Yes, there's some great opportunities during discipleship day to explore your faith, to learn new ways of conveying the faith, learn new ways to be a better disciple.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really what we're all called to do, is to be stronger disciples. We have another opportunity that I'm not sure if you're aware of yet, Jerry, is that in September, we are going to hold a workshop for volunteer teachers, DREs, mm-hmm. whoever is interested, because they have a special needs child in their religious ed program.
Ah.
One thing that we're learning is that if you feel unqualified to teach religious ed, sometimes you can feel a little overwhelmed
yep.
if a special needs child is part of your classroom.
Sure.
There's no need to. We have four special ed teachers that are going to come together, and they're going to offer some suggestions on, here's some practical tips on how you can include a child into your religious ed classroom and still get everybody served.
Wow, that's a great opportunity. Yes. And is that, I suppose the parishes know about that?
Yes, there's stuff that has been sent out to all the parishes. It's on our website. I believe it is Friday, September 14th.
Okay.
I think.
And then discipleship days the week after.
Yes.
Friday and Saturday.
Yes.
Thursday, Friday of the week.
Friday,
Saturday of the week yeah. after. But great opportunities. Even if you're not a teacher, even if you're not involved, if this idea of discipleship kind of gets you going,
yes,
it's a great opportunity.
Yes. And
You just don't know what it means.
Yes. If you don't know what it means, or like I said, we're all called to be disciples. And really, it's witnessing our faith and helping another grow in their faith, walking that journey. And Discipleship Day kind of ignites that for us a little bit,
mm-hmm.
gives us some food for the journey, you know, fills our lunch basket as we go on that journey.
I love the title. To do your will is my delight. And yes. isn't that what we all want, is to feel that delight, that
yes,
joy?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, lots of stuff going on between the schools and the parishes, and the world of the discipleship and evangelization team is full.
Yes.
So.
And we haven't even started talking about adult evangelization yet, but that's probably another program.
We'll save that for another day. Daryl Thuringer, who directs that group, thanks so much for being with us today.
You're welcome.
Gene, I'm not sure we gave the website. We talked about the ways people can find out about Catholic schools, sfcatholic.org.
Exactly. That's a great place to go for information, all things diocesan.
And especially this time of year for the schools and the parish information. That's our time for Catholic Views today. We'll be back next Sunday.